Welcome to Growing Pains, a business podcast for entrepreneurs and their teams who find themselves in the growth phase or messy middle in between startup and aiming for six or seven figures and beyond. I'm your host, Laurie Sterling, a COO, coach and mentor. I both do what I teach and teach what I do with a passion for empathetic team leadership, business operations and all things entrepreneurship.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. Today, I have a guest interview with Amanda McVicker. I hope I pronounced that right. I forgot to check beforehand.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Thanks. So Amanda transitioned from a virtual assistant to an online business manager in 2020. She currently supports six and seven figure entrepreneurs in the online space and uses her signature framework, Organize, Systemize, Strategize. She also mentors VAs who are looking to make the transition to becoming an OBM, helping them finding clients, creating systems to simplify their business and gaining confidence in their skills. So thank you, Amanda. Thanks for coming on.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. So tell me, how did you discover the world of online business manager?
So I started as a virtual assistant. So learning about that world, it started, I think, like 2016, 2017, I was looking on Pinterest for social media stuff, social media management. So I was trying to help my sister become an influencer, as one does, I guess.
Of course.
And so Pinterest, with their algorithm, started sending me things related. And so I learned about virtual assistant, which I had never really heard of. My background was in event planning and thought I would be a conference planner, kind of like my whole life. And then I ended up moving away from where I grew up and everything while I was pregnant with my first kid, and then decided to stay at home. And so when I was home with him, when he was a baby, I was like kind of trying to see what else was out there. And so I found myself on Pinterest a lot, and I kept seeing like more and more stuff about virtual assistant. And it seemed like something that I would be good at and that I would enjoy doing. And so I started my VA business in 2019, catering towards event planners. Mm-hmm. And so when I was putting together my business, I started learning systems like Dubsado and Asana, and I like really enjoyed them. Yeah. And so as I was like, the event planners weren't really using that, but I was using it in my business. And I was like, this is really cool. I really like this. Wow. And so then as I was kind of like growing that side of the business, I learned about OBM and I was like, that makes more sense. Like that's kind of more aligned with what I like doing, kind of like that
project management.
Yeah. Well, coming from event planning, it was like launches. Sure. It's like planning an event.
It is.
And so I was planning on switching to like being an OBM for event planners, because a lot of times, especially like meeting planners, when they start their business, they kind of just jump in and they don't care about systems or back end or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's usually a mess. And I was like, perfect. This will be great. And then COVID happened and all the events that I was working on were canceled. Yes. All of the event planners I was working with were like, I don't have anything for you right now. So, and it was kind of like before digital events were starting to pick up. And so in that time, I decided to kind of pivot to being an OBM for entrepreneurs in general, because I learned this world and I like learned the business coaches and you know, the publicists and all those people who are in this online space. And so I started marketing to them. And then that's how I grew my business.
Wonderful. And so who are the types of clients that you serve now?
Right now, I have three clients who are all business coaches. And I was thinking about this beforehand, because I don't have like I only serve this type of person. It just kind of happened that they are now all business coaches, but they're business coaches for very different industries. One is a business coach for online businesses, like the pretty standard business coach that you would see. One is a business coach for therapists. And while she has like that side of things, she also has a practice side of things and then also a training side of things. And so there's like so much going on in hers. And it's actually, she has like a brick and mortar practice. And so like that was a whole new thing when we started working together. And then another client who's a business coach for ultrasound techs. And so she does that and then also has an ultrasound tech school where she teaches ultrasound tech. So it's a very wide variety of people. But previously, so some past clients I've worked with, a website designer, a publicist, an online lawyer, a life coach, two life coaches, kind of a wide range.
Yeah. And what would you say is the difference, like working with someone who has a brick and mortar business versus an online business?
Yeah. With the brick and mortar, because it's a therapy practice, there's a lot more of the scheduling. Like it's not necessarily like the systems that we bring in are to support the one-to-one scheduling going on there. Whereas with the online business, there's, you know, so much more going on digitally. She also has like a digital side of it with like courses and trainings, but like specifically to the brick and mortar part, it's a lot of scheduling and making sure that like people are where they need to be at certain times. Mm. That's been interesting.
Yeah. So are you at full capacity with clients at the moment?
I'm at full capacity for what I feel comfortable with right now. Yeah. I have previously been, so I have three clients right now, and I've previously had six retainers. That's like the most that I had. And it was doable, but it was a lot. But where I'm at now with a baby at home, like she's with me at home all the time, having three retainers is like my comfortable.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. And so you say that you also help other VAs and OBMs find work as well. How do you typically find your clients?
For OBM?
Yeah.
All of my clients right now and pretty much before have all been referral. So I do have a lot, like I post on social media and like market that way, but it really has always been like one client telling another client.
So it was just like you got your first client and it was a roll-on effect?
Mm-hmm. And even the first client was a referral. Oh. And so, but what it was funny with her, because she's like my oldest client now or longest term client, like she'll tell other people on like the importance of referrals, but also of like maintaining everything in the back end. Cause like she went to go make sure I had an email list and that like my automation was set up and that like my social media showed what I was knew what I was talking about and like all of that. So it was kind of like a mix of the two, but the referral was what so did it.
You also needed to practice what you preach sort of thing.
Exactly. She was like, I need to make sure that like you can set up an email automation and I'll actually get the email when I sign up.
Yeah, that's true. Because things like that can go wrong for sure.
Exactly.
Cool. All right. Do you mind sharing what your rates or packages look like?
Yeah. So currently my clients are between $80 US dollars and $90 an hour.
Okay.
And so I started... Those are both like based on increases. Okay. So I've been working with them, two of them for 2 years and one of them for 3 years. And so when I started with them, it was like 55 with the first one and 75 with the other two.
Gotcha. And so with your three clients, how many team members do you manage in total?
Oh, in total.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. So I have my own VA that helps me with a lot of the work.
Yeah.
The business coach who has like the brick and mortar side of things, she has a whole team of therapists that she works with. And then she has a team on the training side. So I don't actually like manage them, but I work with probably like 10 people over there to make sure like all the projects are going well. And then with the other person, she has a team of five. So I guess like seven or eight people in total.
Oh, okay. Great. It's fun when you think of those big numbers.
I know.
Yeah. And so like with your barber at home, how many hours do you like to work per week?
I usually am doing about 10 to 15 hours of toggle is on this counts towards client work.
Mm-hmm. And so is it the same amount of time for each client or?
So I have monthly retainers. And so For two of the clients, they're at 20 up to 20 hours a month. And then one client is at up to 25 hours a month.
Yeah. Okay. When you look at like the COOs of those companies, how many hours are they working?
They're working. So it kind of depends. I was thinking about that, like the breakdown of it, that they're kind of doing a bunch of different things. Mm-hmm. So like one of them is very heavy in one-to-one calls. Okay. And so her schedule is like 10 to 15 one-hour calls a week. And then she doesn't do too much on like the back end work besides thinking of the ideas. And then she passes it along to me. And then I have another client who we've taken her out of a lot of one-to-one calls. Okay. And she just thinks of things. And so that's, you know, a couple hours a day that she's doing that, plus maybe like one or two calls a week.
Yeah.
And
so
then
that's a very visionary type role.
Yeah. And we've worked really hard to get her out of the day-to-day. Yeah. And because it's her desire not to be on calls. She wants like that freedom. Whereas the other client, she wants to be on the one-to-one calls with people. She wants, and she doesn't want to have to deal with any implementation or anything.
Just wants to turn up and be the talent.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm like, you go do that.
Yeah. And then, either way is fine. There's no rules.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or bad.
And then the one in the middle keeps having so many ideas and her calendar is crazy. But again, like that's running three different businesses you know, trying to keep up with 50 employees.
Yeah. And what's the growth been like that you've seen for the clients that you've been working with while you've been there?
For two of them, the business coaches who are like outside of the online space, their growth has been great in, I mean, all three of them have, but in the building their online training portion of it. Yeah. And when I came on was really for like the therapist coach, she was just starting her training academy. And like, that was my first big thing that we worked on was putting that all together and then launching it and now maintaining it. Yeah. And so that growth has been huge with the ultrasound tech business coach. She, I mean, every quarter she launches like a mastermind type group program. Wow. And it just can build and build and build now that we've taken more off of her plate and she's able to show up for all of that.
Brilliant.
And then the other business coach, she has had a lot of great growth in adding in like podcasts and speaking and masterminds. And so being able to like take all the admin stuff off and kind of just jump into all of that.
Yeah. And what do you think has been like the biggest catalyst for growth for each of them?
I think it was taking them out of the day-to-day stuff.
Yeah.
And it wasn't necessarily like that they were, you know, doing all the admin because they all had VAs and like they all had people kind of taking the smaller things off, but it was implementing like the systems that so like actual platforms so that they don't have to do things manually and implementing like SOPs so that there was like more of a repeatable process for them to not have to think and they could actually like come up with more ideas and, you know, grow their business instead of like dealing with that day-to-day stuff.
Right. Yeah, that's good. What advice would you give an entrepreneur who wants to hire their first OBM?
I would say just do it. I know a lot of, with hiring a VA, it's easier. There's like less mental commitment kind of, because you can just kind of like pick things off and like put it on their plate. But with an OBM, like you're committing to someone coming in and probably changing things and, you know, trusting someone else to like take that burden from you. And so a lot of people can like hold back and be like, oh, I'm not ready. Oh, I need to like get this set up before I bring someone on. And it's like one of those things where you'll never be ready.
Yeah.
And it's like the OBM is actually the person who helps you be ready. Like you think you have to like have a nice system for this. And it's like, no, the OBM can come in and like create
that's funny.
System.
You see a lot of like posts on Instagram. Well, I do, because I follow a lot of VAs and OBMs about like, you need to have your system set up before you make your first hire. But if you hire the right person, i.e. an OBM, they can actually set up the systems for you, especially like onboarding. They can do that as they go. They can essentially onboard themselves and then create that for the next person. So yeah, it doesn't always mean that you have to do the work first, ready for that person to come. There are some exceptions, like I think automations, it's better to set up automations rather than paying somebody to do it manually. I would rather get that system set up before you hire somebody, but that's probably the only exception to the rule there.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, again, like, you know, if you were bringing someone on in like an intro VA position, like, it can be helpful to have an outline because they might be new to the industry. They might not know like what that should even look like. But if you're hiring an OBM knows like what is going on. They understand it. They might have a better way of doing it. Yeah. And so hiring them and have it like be, hey, I wish that, you know, I could have a better content system. Yeah. Chances are that OBM has like
probably use three or four of them,
like knows what to do. And you know, a day later they'll be like, okay, it's ready to go.
Yes.
Here's a blue video.
Yeah, that's it.
And I know that because I've had that.
Yeah, I had a similar thing happen to me. Someone says, oh, before I get you on, I'm gonna create like a brand voice document so that you know how to write newsletters. And I'm like, yeah, I've already created one for you. And I basically like went to their website and like got the information like from their blog and their website and put it through ChatGPT, and ChatGPT created a brand voice document, and like it was all there written out, and like the business owner can still go in and edit it and make tweaks, but the brunt of the work was done instantly in a couple of minutes. So But that's what that experience is getting you, knowing how to approach that sort of thing. Love it. So what advice, kind of the other side of the question, what advice would you give an OBM who wants to work side by side with a CEO?
My advice is always to learn platforms, like learn systems, but not try to learn everything. And like on kind of like the mentoring side, I see that a lot of like, well, I can't be an OBM yet because like, I don't know all of these different platforms, and it's kind of like holding them back. But chances are like when you're starting to work with a new client, you're going to know maybe like half of the stuff that they have. Yes. You know, you're going to learn everything else pretty quickly. Like you don't have to know everything before you're starting. And so I think having that mindset of like, I don't have to be the expert in XYZ every single thing before starting. Yeah. I can learn this on like as I'm going.
You can. And like, let's take like an email software, for example. If you're in this industry, you probably have experienced an email platform before.
Figure out another one.
They're basically the same. They might have buttons in different places, and there will be a YouTube video on it. I guarantee
you can. I always say like learn one in the category. Yeah. And I usually recommend kind of like learn the harder one, like learn Dubsado, learn Active Campaign.
Yes.
You know, learn ClickUp. Yes. And then you can figure out the other stuff.
Exactly. I wholeheartedly agree with that. That's great. So what has been the hardest part about managing a growing team?
I think it's been making sure everyone is on the same page and that like expectations across the board are there. I've had a lot of times where people are getting their information from a bunch of different places. And I have this a lot where, you know, the CEO will talk to the VA and like mention, oh, Amanda's taking care of XYZ. So like you can reach out to her. Whereas like I'm over here, like still setting up the system.
Okay.
And they're like, well, where is it? I'm like, it's not ready yet. And so it's like, as more people join the teams, making sure that everyone is on the same page and realize, like, understands where to go for information so that they can do their job too.
Wow.
And people aren't confused.
You know, I've had a very similar experience recently that I had a VA working on some finance side of things of the business, and they don't have like access to the bank accounts, but we have a piece of software that can like bring in, you know, a copy of those transactions. And so they can at least view the transactions without, you know, needing the bank account details. And little did I know, there was actually somebody else on like the sales team wanting the same information, wanting to know, you know, what income, what bills have been paid or what clients have paid. And they were going to the CEO and asking the CEO, and they were having a, like a weekly meeting where the CEO goes in and checks the bank account to see who's been paid. And I sort of never realized that that was a problem, because the CEO is like, I don't want to be spending my time doing this. This is a problem. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize it was a problem that we actually technically already had a solution for. So once we realized that's a problem that is easily fixed, we just get the VA to tell the sales guy, here's the transactions that have come in, because we already had a system for that. But that communication between all the different team members, understanding when there is a problem, that everybody, like just the awareness, like that was an easy fix. And how long have they been having weekly meetings to talk about that? Like it was like once we realized, we all like, yay, we don't have to have those weekly meetings anymore. It was like a ring moment. So just share problems, like and clarify and see that if you're struggling with something, you don't have to be doing, there's always got to be a better way. There's always ways for improvement. And so, yes, we can set up with, you know, an initial system. We want to get, you know, the minimum viable product up and running, you know, the best good enough done is good enough. Mm-hmm. Like we don't have to get it perfect, but then there's that extra element that, okay, once something is up and running, we can always keep improving it, and always like, every new system that you go through, how can I improve this? Especially if it's a repeatable one, how can we automate this? Or how can I get this off my plate? Or can somebody else do this? Or always asking that question is vital for the improvement of the business in every way. And you never realize what problem you could be solving that you didn't even realize. So, yes.
Exactly.
There's my little story to share. All right. So, what has been the highlight or the best part about working with a growing team?
I love when, I guess in the sense of like launches, like those are like the big projects that we work on. That so when we come to like the end of the launch and everyone's piece in it, you know, has been executed and done, and we're like seeing the results from it. Like that is always. But when I was in event planning, like my favorite part of the event was, so I planned conferences, was like walking the hallway when everyone was in their workshops. Oh. It was like, everything's done. Everyone's happy.
Yeah.
It's good. And so like, that's what I love, like seeing the launches or the like big projects that we do, just like, it is all good.
Yes. Yeah. I just remember, I mean, a wedding is an ultimate, you know, event launch, isn't
totally.
It? Yeah.
That was like me at my own wedding. I was like, okay, the everyone's day, happy.
That's right.
Everyone's
the day I was in the car, happy. I was on the way to the venue, and I'm like, oh, I can relax now. I can enjoy this day. Everything is done. It was good. All right. So what is next for you? What are your dreams and goals and visions for your career?
Yeah, well, I'm, you know, focusing a lot right now on the mentoring side. So helping VAs transition into becoming OBMs. That has been, you know, since that was my story as well. Like I really enjoy helping people who want to, like they see, you know, the OBM job description and they're like, that's me. Like I want to do that. So I love helping VAs and new OBMs with that. And then on the OBM side of things, I'm working to learn more. I know project management, but like more structured project management. So I'm taking courses on that and looking to get my certification, not PMP yet, but the CAPM to start and like maybe start managing some bigger projects.
Dang,
and kind of expand that. There.
Very good. Well, how can people follow you and your journey and what you do?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram mostly. So they can follow me there. My handle is AmandaMcVicker_OBM. And so I share a lot of stuff over there.
Yeah. Love it. Perfect. Well, we'll have that link for everyone in the show notes. So if they want to check you out, they can and follow along. So if you are an OBM and you would love to like maybe take the next step and see what becoming a COO looks like, up-leveling your leadership skills, teaching your team to work autonomously and have tools to make better decisions and improve your strategic management, then please check out my website, lauriesterling.com. I do COO mentoring, and I also have a 9-week digital COO accelerator program. So you can reach out for a prospectus or check out my website for more information. So thank you, Amanda, for coming on today. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And until next time, have a productive day.